I wanted to start with the gospel tonight because it's everything that we have. We were given by the gospel, and we believed it, and we're saved if we're saved. And so I wanted to start in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 1. And I want to make this as simple as I possibly can. And all it is the gospel is a simple gospel. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And according to the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, if you just take those words into consideration, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, that's good news. But why? See, when somebody preaches the gospel, and I hope that I don't fail in doing so, but what I want to show is that, see, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Now, when Paul preached the gospel, he didn't just come up to him and say that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. See, what he did was he explained what Jesus Christ did on that cross for you when he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And the judgment that was involved, and the sins that were involved, and the end of the judgment. And there is no more judgment. God cannot judge Christ again for your sins. 1 Corinthians 15, look at me with me in First Corinthians 15, verse 12. "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, or we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." The verse that really caught my attention when I was studying Romans chapter 15 was, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." Now, religion would have you to believe that you're in your sins if you don't confess your sins. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Right? That's what it says in 1 John 1:9. But Paul says, If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Paul is saying, if Christ was not raised, then you're yet in your sins. So what's the flip of that? What's the opposite of that? If Christ died on that cross for all of your sins, then you're not yet in your sins. And if you're not, here's the good news, if you're not yet in your sins, you have no sin to confess. So then what are you confessing? Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe in thine heart. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Confess what? That God raised him from the dead. Amen. You believe it. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Well, that settled the deal. See, you confessing your sins don't settle the deal. Why? Because your sin's already been paid for. If Christ be risen, if Christ be not risen, ye are yet in your sins. Well, if Christ is risen, then you ain't in your sins. Your sins are not the problem. Turn to, or go back to, don't turn, you shouldn't have to turn. Back to verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Because of. He died because of your sins. Now, you are not going to die because of your sins. You know why you're going to die? Because you're a sinner. But do you know why you will be separated from God for an eternity? Has nothing to do with whether you sinned or not. Unbelief, you wouldn't believe that Jesus Christ. Now, you got to think about something. Did God hold Jesus Christ accountable for your sins? Judged him, didn't he? Said, guilty. My son is guilty. And he turned his back on him. And Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For you, now, God turned his back on his own son for you. If you turn your back on the son, who do you think God's going to hold accountable for his death? He was held accountable for yours. Now, if you won't believe that, who do you think's going to be held accountable? You. And as far as I can tell, all murderers have their part in the lake of fire. Liars. You say, Jesus Christ didn't die for my sins. Liar. Jesus Christ didn't die for my sins. Murderer. Hater. Boasters. Proud. Knowing nothing. It's pretty simple. I mean, the gospel is not complicated. Romans chapter 6. Look in Romans chapter 6. I really want to make it as simple as I can so somebody could see that it's not about you. It's not about what you've done. It's about what he did. I mean, I ain't got nothing to brag about. I ain't got it going on. I don't know. I ain't got it figured out how to be a Christian. You know, that's what you watch. I turn on TV all the time. It's about how to live the Christian life. You want to know how to live the Christian life? Turn to, Romans 6. Romans 6. Here's how you live the Christian life. You want to know how to be a good Christian? How to be obedient to the will of God? This is how you do it. Romans 6:11. Let me back up a little bit. Now, verse 8, Romans 6:8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, now this is the verse, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under the grace. Now that's the reality of it. Sin, now whether you obey it or not, it doesn't have dominion over you. What dominion are we talking about? Dominion that would separate you from God. Dominion to make your flesh do something evil? Oh, that's easy enough. No, he's talking about the dominion that would condemn you. Romans 8 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. The reality of it is where you have been placed. Back up a little bit. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, as far as I can tell, none of us have been doing any time travel lately. Anybody did any time travel? No? Anybody gone back 2,000 years ago and hung up there on that cross with Jesus Christ? Nope. Didn't happen, did it? So it had to have been something that God did. Now, how God did that, I don't know. Because he says in Colossians chapter 2, he says, through the faith of the operation of God. Now, that's a God deal. How God did that, I don't know. He tries to explain it and put it in as many words as we can to understand. But how he actually performed that, I don't know. But he said that he did. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Me and Norman talking about earlier. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And I'm going to keep on that because in those things that happened in the with the gospel is the good news of his dying for our sins, the good news of him being buried with our sins, and the good news of him being raised again without no sin. And it's all good. Hey, it's good that Jesus Christ died for my sins, because now I don't have to die for my sins. It's good that he was buried and that old man is gone. He's dead. And you can't kill him no more because he's dead. You can't kill him no more. He can't be judged anymore. He's judged. He's dead. He's buried. But not only that, but in Romans 6, back up in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now that is a bold statement. That's somebody that believes that they have no sin that God could judge them for. How shall we that are dead to sin? It is impossible for somebody who has been crucified with Christ, being buried and raised again the third day to be living in sin. But now hang on, that person may be walking around telling lies, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer. May be doing a lot of other bad things, but if he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he's dead to sin. And he can't live in it anymore. Whether he wants to or not. It has nothing to do with what he wants anymore. It's he's been sealed unto the day of redemption. It's a done deal. The debt's been paid. Look in verse 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized? Now, why do people want to bring water in here? They bring water into this, but there ain't no water there. And I'm going to prove that in a minute, but I'm not going to preach on baptism, but I want to talk about what this death is, buried. This being buried. And he died for our sins. Well, let me do one more verse before we go into this. Go to Romans chapter 8. There's a few verses in Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians 11, or 1 Corinthians 1. Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 1. Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, come on. Are y'all walking around in a body of flesh? But he just said in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh. But you're walking around in it. But God don't see you in it. Why? He says you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Well, that has to be a God deal. Because I see a bunch of people walking around in corrupt bodies. I got one too. If I don't use deodorant, y'all will know. If you don't take a bath, you don't think your flesh is corruptible, don't take a bath. Need a little Lysol after you get out of the bathroom? Don't scare away the roaches and the rats. Whatever's going on inside your body is corrupt. From your head to your toe, from your brain all the way to your tippy toes, it's all corrupt. Your thoughts, what the body produces, everything about it. Inevitably, what does the body produce at the end? Death. There ain't nothing left. It's going to die. It's corruptible. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's not very good. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, what did he just say in 8? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, yeah. You're going to die too. If that's what you are, if that's all you are, you're going to die. But if you have the Spirit of God in there, then you're not in the flesh. What are you in? The Spirit. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, here's the explanation. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now they get this thing all mixed around and want it to be something that you got to do for God. But the truth of the matter is well, what God did for you. And you can make a choice whether or not you want to put your mind on of reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin or trying to snuff sin all the time. Oh, I got to get rid of my sin. Oh, really? I thought Jesus Christ did that on the cross 2,000 years ago. See, people don't got in their mind what Jesus Christ did for them on that cross. He settled a debt that they can't fix, and they still can't fix it. And I can't fix it. And you can't fix it. And Barry Hampton can't fix it. And Brother E.C. Moore couldn't fix it. And Brian Sipes couldn't fix it. And Steve Atwood couldn't fix it. And that man alive that could fix it. That's why Jesus Christ fixed it. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Come down to... For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's what he says. Reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin. You know what that's saying? Lust. I got a problem with that. You got a problem with that? Like pretty girls. Got two eyes. When I go blind, I don't think I'll like to look at pretty girls anymore. No, I still will. I have an imagination, you know. I got eyes that don't have eyeballs. But he says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. What about that lust? It comes up. You know what? I'm thinking. Jesus Christ died from that one. God's not judging me for that. So then I go, ooh, boy, I can do whatever I want now. No. I'm just like, that is the greatest thing in the world. And so, and I'm not focused on that anything. I'm focused on what He did for me. Set your affections above, thinking about what He did, not what I'm doing. Does it mean I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing? Not necessarily. I may snuff that one out and stop doing that and pick up another one. And you'll go, look what you did. And I'm not saying by any means that confess that we're Christians and witness to the world and tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And if you'll just trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, God will save you. And now you can just go out and do whatever you want. That's not what I'm saying. The love of Christ constraineth us. We thus judge if one died, then we're all dead. The mind is, I'm at liberty to do the will of God. Were you at liberty to do the will of God before you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? No, you were in bondage. You were struggling. Did you want to tell anybody that Jesus Christ died for their sins when you were lost? Didn't know it? Didn't understand it? Probably didn't want to know it. I know when I was lost, I was trying to run as far as away from God as I could get. If somebody would have asked me, did Jesus Christ, how do you be saved? I would be like, well, I don't really know. And I would shy away from it. I'd say, well, I don't really know. And I never really did really know. I knew that He died on the cross, but I didn't quite know how all that worked out. Look what He says in, go to Yeah, but I want to go over to Romans 8 and 30. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, and this goes to the foreknowledge I was talking to Norm about earlier. Predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge elect? It's God that justifies. Go to 1 Corinthians 19. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19. Did I say 1 Corinthians 1? That's not the one I wanted. I don't know why I wrote that down. You're right. I bet you it's 2 Corinthians 1:19. No, that ain't it. I love it when I do that. Well, oh, yes, thank you. Thank you. You'll be next. Next Wednesday, we're going to have you. We'll mic you up. You'll be ready to go. No, thank you. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 28. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, no, that ain't what I wanted either. No. Oh, well. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh, well. Go to 2 Corinthians. Must not have needed that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know the verse that I wanted where he says, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh. Oh, Colossians. It wasn't Corinthians, it was Colossians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. And this is just for people that are all worried about sin. And they're frustrated about it, and they're just in it and wallowing in it, and just like the judgment of God is just absent, and God's just going to let me do whatever I want and get away with whatever I want, and it doesn't even matter. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Well, it had to be your sin. If he didn't have any sin and he was made to be sin, it had to be yours. Wasn't his, wasn't God's. Had to be yours. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hath made him to be sin. All of the sin. Sin, he just puts it in one word, sin. All of it. There it is. Sin. All who believe are justified from, he didn't say shall be justified. He said are justified. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. 38. Acts chapter 38, verse 30, Acts 13:38. I'll give everybody time to get there. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified. Didn't say shall be. Said are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now did it say, see, that's not saying that if you'll believe, then you're justified. That's saying if you'll believe that 2,000 years ago that God raised up, well, obviously it wasn't 2,000 years at that time, maybe 10, but if you will believe that God raised him from the dead and believe that when he raised him from the dead, he justified you, then you're justified. He's not saying that if you believe, then right now you're justified. That's not what he's saying. He's saying if you believe that when he raised him from the dead, that he justified you, then you're justified. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing that he justified you 2,000 years ago. See, it had nothing to do with you. You think that because you confessed your sins or you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that God is going to save you because you believe that you just believe that, okay, my sins were suddenly put on Jesus. Nope, didn't work that way. See, he says, and go to, and all I'm trying to do with this is show the done deal at the cross, the finished work. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after... In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What did you believe after you heard it? The gospel of your salvation. That he died for my sins. The good news of my salvation. Did I hear about, oh, what you really need to do is just pour out your heart to God and really get down and just confess your sins? No. No, no, no. He said, believe in whom also that after you believed were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, in whom ye also trusted, the beginning of verse 13, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel, the good news of your salvation. The good news of your salvation? Sounds like something that had been done for you. Not something that you were required to do. But religion will make it something that you're required to do. But the gospel and the cross, the preaching of the cross, is all about what Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit did for you and performed. Go to Colossians chapter 1. I know why I couldn't find that in 1 Corinthians, because it was in Colossians chapter 1, not 1 Corinthians 1. I got some sloppy handwriting, that's all I'm going to say. Now, I wouldn't have found it there. Went, if my people who are called by my name. Yeah, that's the same as what we're talking about. I got something better than what was promised in 2 Chronicles. What is it? 2 Chronicles 7:14? I got something so much better than anything that God ever promised them Jews in 2 Chronicles. It ain't even funny. Come on, all they got's the earth. I got a new city. I got it all. Ain't nothing that I don't got. Except a backache. I brought that on by myself. God didn't give that to me. I'm going to get a new body, though. Man, I won't even have to worry about, you know, pain spasms or, you know, pinched nerves and no more tears. Man, I can't even imagine. That song that says, I can only imagine, I can't even imagine. I don't know how he can imagine. I can't imagine. I see some things in Scripture that talk about it, but I can't possibly know what heaven is like. What do you compare it to? Can you look around at anything compared to what heaven might be like? I don't know. Outside of Scripture, I don't see anything. We just receive it by faith. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now come on, you got to think about this. This was done almost 2,000 years ago. 1,900 some odd years ago. You weren't there. So, good Christians, what are they going to do? All I hear about is that you need to be holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You need to get it right. You need to change your wicked ways. You need to turn and trust the Lord and do the will of God. I thought he just said back there in Romans chapter 6, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed also unto sin. He's not saying don't color outside the lines. He said there are no lines. We're at liberty. And we're not like put in a box, and if you don't fit inside that box, then you're not acceptable. You're holy, you're righteous, justified, sanctified, no condemnation. God can never hold another one of your sins against you ever for all eternity. Ever. Why? Christ was held accountable for all of your sins. Listen, it's like this. Either Jesus Christ was held accountable for all of your sins, or he was held accountable for none of your sins. It got to be one or the other. It's not halfway. God's not a fence straddler. I always heard that in church. Y'all ever hear that? Don't be a fence straddler. Well, I wasn't a fence straddler. I went to the bad side all the way over. I said, you know what? I'm going over here and we're going to drink some beer. I didn't meet halfway, you know. Look like I'm a Christian. Well, you know what? I don't want to tell you some of the things that I would have said, but I didn't want to have anything to do with God, that was for sure. But in, let me see, in, where'd I leave off? In the verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and be not moved. What is, how does faith come? And hearing by the, okay. We're just trusting the Lord, right? Okay. If you continue in the faith, what would the faith tell you? That you're dead and your life is hid with God in Christ. When Christ as our life shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your deeds. What is He saying? Reckon them to be dead. Crucified. Well, I messed up. Praise God He died for my sins. That's all I know to say. Press on. Will they beat you up? Yep. You mess up, boy, you're going to hear it. And you know who you'll hear it from the worst? Is the religious system of this world. They will put you down and mock you and say you are no kind of, you know, I'd rather be rebuked and corrected by a loving brother who would admonish me in love and not throw me to the ditch and kick me like a dog. I'd rather be treated by the hands of a Savior who is gracious and have mercy and talk like David said, his loving kindness. Yeah, I want mercy. I don't want justice. God told me that at the conference. I said, amen, brother. I want mercy, not justice. Say, I believe in justice for all. Oh, really? Well, I guess you'll be first on the chopping block then, right? Justice. Man, I'd be in prison for the rest of my life if justice was laid down on me. And I'm talking about, I'm not nothing to do with God. Now, this is just the laws of the land. And you would be the same way. Say, well, you just didn't get caught. That was the difference. And by the way, there's enough laws on the books to put us all in jail right now. You know, they could dream up something. That's the way the Old Testament law was. 630 ordinances. Peter even said, which we our fathers weren't even able to bear. We're not talking about the 10. I mean, Paul said, unblameable. Sacrifices and all that stuff. But the 630, I mean, day in, day out, day in, day out. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do the 10 either. It would have been enough just to keep the 10. Now add another 600 and something to it. I mean, it's hard for us just to get in our minds that we've been dead. All these years I've been dead and didn't even know it. Walking around lost, didn't know it. Walking around dead, didn't know it. Turn to... Colossians chapter 2. Before you go to Colossians chapter 2, I'm sorry, go to Galatians. I missed one in Galatians I wanted to do. Galatians chapter 6. And I ain't got much more time, but I'm going to get through these verses because Galatians 6, verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Brother, we baptized 20 this Sunday. For neither they who are baptized keep the law, circumcised, baptized. You know what that circumcision and baptism, what they have in common? Being cut away. When somebody is baptized into water in the Bible, they are cut away from whatever they were a part of and identified with something new. Overwhelmed with, like when you're in the middle, when you're in a group, you're overwhelmed by that group. You're identified with that group. Now back there, they were identified with the group by baptism, water baptism, identified them with that group. But look what he says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now what I'm talking about is when Jesus Christ died on that cross, whether you believe it or not, on the internet, wherever you are, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter. You might as well believe it, because Jesus Christ became your sin. Jesus Christ went to hell with your sin. And if you'll believe it, God raised him up together and justified you and will no longer hold your sin against you. And if you'll believe that, God will give you eternal life. Paul said, I am crucified unto the world and the world to me. Paul looked out at the world and saw potential Christians everywhere. There was no one that he went and came in contact with that he didn't believe that that person could be saved. Because all of them had been crucified. They just didn't know it. They hadn't heard the gospel of their salvation. Well, religion makes out that gospel to be something you're doing. Turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Some people trying to figure it out, man. You know? Let me work this out in my mind. I'm going to figure out. Well, I'm really a good guy. I just really don't feel like that's the way it is. That's not the way I feel. I've really examined myself, and that's just not the way I feel how it is. I don't feel good about that. I have this philosophy that teaches me that I'm really okay, and if I examine myself in the world around me enough, I'll find that I'm really okay. That's you know what that's called? Philosophy. You know what that is? The heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. It doesn't want to be found guilty. It don't want to admit that it's wrong. Well, I figured it out in my mind well enough that I'll be all right. So really, oh yeah, you got one problem. You're gonna die. You say, well, yeah, but I'm okay with that. But you won't be okay with it if you didn't trust Jesus Christ. But if I'm wrong, then what do I got to lose?
We all dead like dogs anyway. But if you're wrong, you've got hell to worry about. But I don't have hell to worry about. Christ died and went to hell for me. He took my place. Look what he says here. And beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men, after rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Come down, verse 11, in whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Buried. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a death in a grave and somebody piling some dirt up on top of you. We're not talking about physical circumcision. This is not physical. This is spiritual. Look what he says. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's spiritual. Through the faith, how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not in what you're figuring out. What God said. Guess what? I'm a dummy. I know I'm a dummy. I couldn't get through 10th grade. I couldn't make it on real good. I was doing my lines were real neat. I was taking drafting. I said, boy, you got good lines. Yeah, I've been doing this since I was 6 years old. No biggie. Get to the math. What? Introductory algebra. What? X times what? Pi r what? Pi around. Mama says so. It's not about knowledge. It's not about something you're figuring it out. Look what he says. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses? Having forgiven you all trespasses? Won't you believe that? Just believe that. Don't figure it out. Just trust the Lord. It's enough just to trust the Lord. Say, well, I don't have enough faith. Amen. You sure don't. And if it would have been counted on your faith, he wouldn't have needed Christ anyway. What you worried about your faith for? Trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. God will save you right now. You can trust Him. You can trust the Lord. He's worthy and He's trustworthy. You can count on Him. If He says it, He'll do it. Look what... Go to Luke. Oh no, I ain't got time. I got 4 minutes and I ain't gonna have time. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and I'm gonna finish up. Because I am gonna finish on time tonight, Barry. I know he's listening. So I'm gonna finish on time. I don't wanna hold anybody up. Yeah, really, it's 8 o'clock at night. I mean, you know. I don't either. I wish I could hear something. I ain't got one of them fancy little phones that somebody could text me and say, hurry up, brother. I got 5 more minutes and I got a meeting. Romans chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 17, Romans 4:17. But as it is written, I have made thee, talking about Abraham, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, how was he strong in faith? Was he trying to figure it out? Now, let me see. Sarah's womb's dead, so we need to get one of them fertilization implants and figure out this thing, call one of them doctors and give her some herbs and some, better pile her on with the antioxidants and, you know, boy, we better start feeding her good and, man, what am I going to do? I got to have me a seed and I don't know what I'm going to do. No, he wasn't trying to figure it out. Look, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. You know what unbelief is? They're trying to figure it out. I don't believe you. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure out this thing and do it my own way. I don't really believe what you said. I'm going to try and figure it out and do it my own way. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. You know, you can be fully persuaded right now that God was able to perform the operation on that cross that needed to be done to save you. And you can be fully persuaded that what God promised he was able to perform. Not what you're able to perform, but what he performed. That's all that counts. He says that being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was put to his account for righteousness. That's where the gospel we have and the gospel that was preached to Abraham have in common. That God promised something. This is all that it has in common. God promised something that God was able to perform. And if that person would believe it, God would count it to him for righteousness. That's the gospel part of it. That's the part that would be as the same. They would say, well, you know what the church would say? Well, back there, God preached the gospel of Christ to Abraham. Baloney. He preached that if you'll believe what I said that I was able to do, I'll count it to you for righteousness. And don't you know that God is able to perform your salvation, or was able to perform your salvation just as much as he was to bring a baby out of a 99-year-old woman? He's able to raise Jesus Christ again from the dead, justifying you of all your sins, and you can trust him right now and he'll save you. Amen. I'm done.